The hearings for Judge Kavanaugh, as well as the scandals in the Catholic Church, have a lot of lessons to teach us.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a Tuesday morning. It's Tuesday, September 4th, 2018, and Father Frank and I both had a big day on Saturday. It was his anniversary, 25 years as a priest. Yay!
All right.
And then it was also my birthday, my Earth Day on Saturday, which was always fun to celebrate. And
so I thought
I felt like I kind of had what?
Go I ahead, thought Father, the 25 was your birth, your birthday.
My age.
That's a bit of an exaggeration, but I mean,
my 29th birthday for the 30th time. I'm proudly 59 years young, as you are.
So as am I. As am I.
Was older than me.
And it was actually, you know this though. It was the 25th anniversary of my being director of Priests for Life, actually. And then,
oh, okay. I thought it was your anniversary as a priest.
Well, in November it'll be my anniversary as a priest, and it'll be my 30th.
Oh, so then I have to send you another goodie basket.
Another goodie basket. Well, that was very kind. Thank you very much. I'm sharing.
All right, well, let me ask you, because I used one of the florists down by your office, and I was telling her all about you and how you like this and that, and so she really tried to fill it. Did you get all your little junk food that you liked in there?
He's very nice, yes. It was very good.
All right, good.
It was
well, thank
good.
You for the picture. It cheered me up. All right, so we have a lot going on.
Yes.
Firstly, let's talk about Judge Kavanaugh, because
yes.
This is a huge day, and I want to get your opinion on the comments yesterday from the Pope, but I have to calm down, because I had about 10 Italian head-exploding moments when I read that, so I have to take a deep breath and calm down. But let's talk about Brett Kavanaugh going before the Senate's now, the senators now, because it's a big day for the start of the nomination hearing. So your thoughts?
Well, listen, this is an important, it's going to be a four-day process. So the rest of this week, today there will be opening statements from the Judiciary Committee and others. Then tomorrow the questioning of the judge will begin. It'll probably be a 12-hour session tomorrow. That what happens is the senators each have a half an hour. They alternate between parties, so a Republican member will speak, then a Democrat member, then it'll go back to a Republican. And then, so that'll be tomorrow. That'll continue into Thursday. The senators on the committee again will have then a more limited time, but they will each take turns in asking their questions. And then on Friday, the process is that there are testimonies or interventions from people who know Judge Kavanaugh well. So we will see friends, we will see professional relationships there, people that have worked with him closely, and they will attest to his judicial philosophy. And this is the thing going into this. First of all, SupremeCourtVictory.com is a website where we're going to keep the updated. I'm going to do some live tweeting, by the way, responding to some of the things that will be said. FR Frank Pavone is my Twitter account. And we'll also have, we have links on our SupremeCourtVictory.com page where you can actually read, and this is going to be one of the points of contention, you can read the documents that have been submitted to the Judiciary Committee. Now, we should understand, the Democrats, they can't stop this confirmation process. I mean, I'm convinced that he's going to be confirmed, and the Democrats can't stop it. So they're very frustrated. So they'll use every kind of delay tactic that they can find. And you know, they've been focusing in on this question of all the documentation. There have been more documents submitted to this committee about Judge Kavanaugh and his record than any other person who has ever been nominated to the Supreme Court in American history. Two and three times as many documents. And we're putting the actual numbers on our website. And again, you can read the documents themselves. You want to read a couple of 100,000 pages. The point is that the Democrats were told by the, of course, the Republicans are in charge of the committee because they're in charge of the Senate. And the Democrats were told, listen, any documents you want, you know, within the bounds of reason, ask us, make a formal request, And we'll work with, see, they have to work with representatives from the George W. Bush administration, because Kavanaugh worked in that administration in a number of different capacities. And a lot of paperwork went through his desk. I mean, he was in charge of, you know, making sure that the proper correspondence got to the president and from the president out to the public. And so all kinds of paper went across his desk. Now, how much of this is relevant to him being a justice on the Supreme Court? You know, some, but not all, not most of it. And so, you know, the Democrats can be, they're being fairly deceptive in some of their statements to the public, because they're saying, oh, well, only X percentage of the documents from when he worked in the White House are being made available to us. Well, first of all, there are laws in place about what documents from a presidential administration can be shared. But secondly, you know, the question that's not being raised in a lot of these comments is, are these documents that are relevant to the purpose of these hearings? The purpose of the hearings is to confirm a nominee to the Supreme Court. And so what you're going to be looking at is he qualified to be a justice of the Supreme Court? That should be the only question. That now that these hearings begin today, and you know, you can watch them live. You can see, again, the link will be on our SupremeCourtVictory.com. You can watch them live streamed from the website of the Judiciary Committee. But the question we have to keep in mind is one point here, only one. Is he qualified to be a justice on the Supreme Court? And that's the only focus that there should be, whether it's document requests or the line of questioning. Now, Teresa, I'm going to be listening very carefully to Senator Dianne Feinstein and Senator Dick Durbin and Senator Cory Booker. These three Democrats are among the Democrats that are on the Senate Judiciary Committee. And the reason I mentioned the three of them, you know, they, in interviewing judges in the past, have done something that the Constitution does not permit. And that is, they talk in such a way as if there were a religious test for public office.
But how do you prevent that, even though they're not supposed to do that? Because they did it last time.
Well, it's not a matter of preventing it. It's a matter of noticing it and responding to it accordingly. In other words, if people see that, they should raise a stink. They should. You know. You remember what Feinstein did with Judge Amy Coney Barrett. You know, well, the dogma lives loudly within you.
Yeah,
you know?
It's what I'm talking about.
And it's like, well, that's what it means to live as a faithful Catholic. You know, we believe that dogma is dogma. It's the word of God revealed to us. Of course, it lives within us. The point is that, so what? You know, I mean, and this is the great thing about Judge Kavanaugh, you know, when he gave that his remarks at, when he was announced. He made no apology for the fact that he's a practicing Catholic. You know, it was beautiful. He had his priest there. You know, he said he was an altar boy and all the rest. So it is a something we need to watch out for and call them on it. If you see any line of questioning whereby they're sort of implying that, well, you know, where I'm no, here you seem to be believing Catholic doctrine. It's like, well, if that's who I am, that's who I am. Doesn't mean I can't also be a good judge.
So what are you thinking? Where is this going? How long will this be? And do you think they have enough votes to make sure that he gets confirmed?
I think he'll get confirmed. But it's important for us to communicate with our senators during these days, and we'll be sending out action alerts along these lines to say, hey, listen, you know, he's a great qualified judge. We expect a fair vote, and it should be focused on his qualifications. And that's all. We just let the senators know that they have our support and that we expect the process to go the way it's supposed to go. And I think it'll go well. It'll be 4 days now of hearings. Then there'll be, you know, further deliberations in the coming weeks, and then the whole Senate will have to vote. And I think that vote will take place by the end of the month so that he can be seated on the court come the 1st of October, which is when the new term of the court begins.
We're talking with Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, who, by the way, just celebrated 25 years as the National Director of Priests for Life over the weekend. 877-573-7825. September is indeed a busy month. We have the abortion memorials coming up. Dr. Monica Miller is going to be on my show this morning, as a matter of fact, Father, talking about them. This is a very powerful event that takes place all over the country, correct?
Yes. I approached Monica and Eric Scheidler some years ago because I had done a number of these burials with Monica and also at EWTN, at the Shrine, and in other places. And the idea was germinating in my mind that, you know, we have to make sure these burial sites are not forgotten. And when people go and pray at a grave site, that reinforces the humanity of the person who's buried there. So I I said to them, we should do a project where people go to these burial sites all across the country. There's about 50 of them, and they loved the idea. They had very much been thinking along the same lines. And so that's how what gave birth to this National Day of Remembrance. The three of us are the co-founders, Monica and Eric and I. And we are just delighted. This Saturday, September 8th, will be, once again, with great participation in many sites, not just the places where they're buried, but, you know, many parishes and cemeteries have these memorial stones for the unborn. I've dedicated a lot of them across the country. And services will be held at those places, too, even if there's not actual babies buried there. So we really want to encourage people to take part in this. And abortionmemorials.com is the website for it.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will wrap up with Father Frank, and we'll ask him his opinion regarding the Pope now saying that in terms of sex abuse crisis, silence and prayer should be the response. We'll be right back. Okay, we are in the break.
All right.
Are we on Facebook?
We are.
Hello, Facebook people. So what did you do for your 25th anniversary? Inquiring minds want to know.
I worked at my desk.
Father.
You know, I have now...
your little basket.
I have now... I snacked from the basket a little bit. I started with the Good and Plenty. But I have a...
They can put Good and Plenty in there. By the way, the folks who are listening on Facebook, I sent Father a goodie basket for his 25th anniversary as head of Priests for Life. And I usually send him... I did that with your Christmas basket, too. I just fill it with all kinds of junk food. If you're like a little kid, you love your junk food. So what was in there besides the Good and Plenty?
Those mini Oreos. There was a chocolate bar. There were some peanuts. Various things like that. But I also, not to give people the wrong idea, I eat healthy stuff, too. You know, I like the dried fruit, for example. And
you do. I can testify to that. Cashews. You do eat healthy, but that's your little treat when you like to celebrate, right?
But it was a work weekend, actually. I was not traveling, so I had a lot of work to catch up on and some writing to do and some pre-taping of radio shows and podcasts. So I was at my desk all weekend.
Well, that's good because the sugar gave you the energy that you needed.
Right? I guess so. Yeah.
Well, we haven't really celebrated my birthday yet because my nephew was married on Saturday and Deacon Dom officiated, and it was beautiful. It was a great wedding, and of course, in typical Italian style, there's enough food to kill a horse, and then some. It was just a great day, great music. I was out there dancing.
Ah, yes.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yep, T hit the dance floor. I was the first one out there with my niece, and then everybody joined. They got the party started.
Oh, boy, that must have been fun.
How about 3 more minutes left? Okay, FF, National Director of Priests for Life, celebrating 25 years in that position. Need to get your opinion. I'm very confused by this. I'm seeing headlines all over the place. In the wake of the abuse crisis, the Pope calls for silence and prayer. This was based on a homily he did yesterday at the Santa Marta, the daily homily for Monday, and saying that in the abuse crisis, also in work and family and blah, 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 we need to decide when to speak and when to be silent. Well, no kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, we pray about when to speak up, and you don't complain about every least little thing, whether it's in the home or in your work or in church. You pick your battles, but I would say we've got a big battle on our hands right now, and that silence is what got us here in the first place. So I'm confused when at the same time the Holy Father in Ireland was saying we need transparency, we need people to come forward. He was encouraging victims to come forward. All the bishops have encouraged victims and anyone who's seen or heard anything to let them know or to tell someone, and now we hear
about
that. I'm confused.
Well, you know, I mean, the Pope has to explain what's in his mind and heart. I don't know. But the point is that a homily given at the Santa Marta Little Chapel at daily mass is not the, you know, be-all and end-all for the whole church of how we're handling this gigantic crisis. In other words, we have to approach this with the common sense that God has given to all of us. The proper response that, you know, you speak up when you know, it's like with terror, you know, fighting terrorism in this country. If you see something, say something, right? Is the what you see at the airports and at the train stations and whatnot. The same idea here, you know, you can't, you know, people are very upset about, you know, rightly so, about cover-ups and whatnot. We don't need that. We need honesty. We need transparency. And those who know something need to say something, especially with Archbishop Vigano's letter. You know, there were so many people named there. And then people are saying, well, you know, the reporters and need to do their job in figuring this out. Well, it's kind of hard for a reporter to do his job in figuring it all out when the people that know something and he goes to them and they're inaccessible or they're quiet. I mean, how
well, what they're saying, though, Father, the people to whom they're speaking, the media are speaking, they're taking certain agenda-driven statements from people who are saying that this is a coordinated attack on the Holy Father.
You know, why all of a sudden, here's what I don't understand, too. Why are all of a sudden church leaders talking about an attacks on the Holy Father instead of attacks on these victims of abuse? Changing the topic. We cannot change the topic here. The topic here is not attacks on the Pope. The topic here is, what are we going to do to protect these victims, past, present, and future? What are we going to do to protect these victims? And we've got to keep our eyes fixed on the facts, not on the motives. You know, the motives of a whistleblower are going to be all over the place. But focus on the facts and get some answers.
Amen. Father Frank, thank you so much. Look forward to speaking to you again next week and following your activities, especially with the abortion memorials.
Yes.
Coming up in the next few weeks. Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priest Your Life, and we will be right back. Thanks, FF. Bye-bye to our Facebook followers.
All right. Have a great day.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.